September 10th, 2017, it's Lot from Pedro Show.
Street lamps
Watt for Pedro show. In Pedro, Brother Matt's still indisposed from his hip replacement surgery, so a man alone in person, but through the magic of the engineers from Estonia who developed the Skype software, I'm very honored to be joined for Mr. David Thomas. Thank you, David.
Hello.
Yeah. And we started off with John Coltrane doing I'll Wait and Pray, the alternate take, and then we heard from the brand new Paraubel album, 20 Years in a Montana Missile Silo.
Yep.
Yeah.
You sound uncertain.
Well, so I don't want to fuck it up. And the tune is called Cold Sweat, which is makes me think of Jim Brown, too. Here's a trippy thing I like to ask people. David, what's your earliest music memory?
Harry Parch.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it sounds pretentious and unlikely, but I'm afraid it's true. My father had some, I guess, beatnik tendencies or something. I don't know. He wasn't particularly into music, but he had a Harry Parch album. I think it was that, I can't remember what it was called. It was The World of Harry Parch or something like that. And he had some Lenny Bruce records and
wow.
And Kingston Trio.
My pop was into Kingston Trio. So, is there listeners in the pad, or is there people making music? Did your parents play?
No. My father. None of my parents were particularly interested in music. He did have another album I heard of early age was the Vachel Lindsay album, the readings of Vachel Lindsay. So I suppose that's as musical as he got.
There's a cadence.
Yeah. So, no, but my mother was an artist, and he was a literature teacher, so American Lit. So, no musical stuff at all. I read a lot of books.
He expressed himself with words and your mother with images?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have music in school?
Huh?
Did you have music in school?
Yeah, I played the tuba.
Oh, wow. Were you in the marching band?
No, it was in the orchestra.
Okay. Bass class, though.
I wasn't any good at it,
In the marching band was trombones and tubas had big mouthpieces, so it was easier to march with them.
I'm sure they did.
I heard that the toughest was French horn because tiny mouthpiece.
Yeah, you have to have your embouchure really together on that. And I wouldn't want to be marching around on a wet field with a... that sort of a task at hand. But no, I wasn't particularly good at it. I didn't have any particular aptitude to it. I had no particular interest in music,
What about records on your own? What was the first record you bought yourself?
The first record I bought, in the year 2525, Zager and Evans.
Oh, wow, I remember that.
Yeah. And then my buddy turned me on to Uncle Meat. We made films, Super 8 films. And so then I heard Uncle Meat, and then I went back and bought Absolutely Free and Hot Rats had just come out. So I bought those the same day.
Wow.
And then on Hot Rats, I heard that this weird singer that I thought was interesting. Which was Don Van Vliet, of course. And then I went out and bought Trout Mask Replica, Safe as Milk, Mirror Man, and something else the next day.
There's a rumor.
There's
a rumor, maybe you can clear this up for me. There was a big gig in Akron with Captain Beefheart, and everybody was there from the Ohio scene.
Absolutely, everybody was there.
Wow! So it is true. It is true.
Oh yeah, it's true. It's that was, if you were, that was the show that You know, you had to be at, you know, everybody. Everybody was there.
Wow. What was the name of the pad? What was the name of the pad?
I don't even remember the place. I don't know.
Because I've heard rumors about this, and the Numbers Band, and the Jimbo guys, and all these,
Everybody was there. I mean, everybody was there. You know, it's unlike the, you know, when the Velvets used to play Cleveland all the time.
Yeah.
There was only two of us were there, you know.
But, and Bob Quine.
Well, yeah. But,
no, supposedly he has, I heard that Bob Quine made recordings of every Cleveland gig.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Those cassettes, you know, just passed on to, you know, it was Jamie Climack and Peter Lochner, and they just passed those. They were totally underage, but they got in and they passed the cassettes around, and, you know, everybody learned that stuff that was on the kind of the bootleg album. The bands in Cleveland knew that stuff, you know, from the tapes, you know, that they made.
Right.
At that point, the Velvets played Cleveland 27 times in a year span. They were known as the house band at Le Cove, which was this jazz blues folk club in town.
What kind of time is it to drive from New York City to Cleveland?
Well, it depends on how manic you are, but
of course.
I mean, for you, it'd probably be 3 hours, but for a normal person, it's 8 to 10.
So, in a way, because I've heard people say Ohio is not Midwest.
Well, I don't know what the hell it is.
Okay, no, some kind of Eastern. It's part of the East somehow.
But yeah, I guess it's. I guess it all depends on when you start counting west. But you know, for us, it's pretty Midwestern. I mean, you know, Pennsylvania has always been the, you know, that space between where you are and where you want to be. It's all wilderness, you know, out there. We would drive. We would do that. You know, the first times we'd be playing in New York, we'd do that drive, do the show, and drive back the same night, the next morning. You know,
wow.
It was nutso.
And that road is pretty brutal. In fact, Minuteman tour. I don't know why this van we had mags, but it broke a mag off the hub. Should have been there. Should have had steel wheels anyway, but. Yeah, it used to have to be really rough.
Oh yeah. There's bears, you know, running across the across the freeway. No. We were, me and the sound man were the only people awake, and you know, and you're going, you know, we're hauling a trailer, you know, going 70 miles an hour, and that's dangerous enough in the clapped out sort of van we're, you know, in Peter's van,
sure,
which barely ran. So we're heading 70 miles an hour, and a big black bear starts running out across the motorway, the freeway. I mean, and we're going to hit it.
Oh,
you know, there's no agility. There's no, you know, ability to move out of the way. You're locked, you know.
Yeah.
And so it just clipped the end of the trailer. I looked in the rear view. It staggered to its feet, kind of looked around, and just took off again. You know,
wow, they're strong. They are strong. I remember Scotty telling me once, Hutton, the drummer of the Stooges, Upper Peninsula, and he said he could see in the corner of his eye a bear shadowing him behind the trees. Yeah, it was scary, he told me. You know, can you remember your first gig playing in front of people?
Yeah, sure. It was Rocket from the Tombs, in a version before everybody knows about it. Oh yeah, the first thing I did was throw my arm out to the side and knock the mic stand over.
With the mic?
It was an incredibly auspicious start to my career.
Was this the place down by the flats? Was it the?
No, this was the Viking Saloon.
Okay.
Up by Cleveland State.
Because something that ended up later being called Peabody, I heard, was called Pirate Cove. And
yeah, it was the Pirates Cove.
Okay, okay. And I got to play there as a Minuteman at Peabody, so I thought there was some kind of linkage. And it goes back to, like, Andrew Carnegie or something.
Oh, no, it was Rockefeller's first
warehouse. Oh, it's Rockefeller. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
John Rockefeller.
No, Peabody's was its place that kind of moved around. They had different locations. Pirate's Cove was the funky place.
Yeah.
You know, which it was across the street from the ore boats would dump their ballast, you know, before going up the river outside, and it was just where the sailors, the lake freighter sailors, came in to get plastered either on the way up the river or out the down the river.
Yeah, Pedro has some of those traditions. Older days.
Yeah.
I think we were doing about a murder a night in the 40s. I think we were the murder capital. Sailor towns were rougher towns. And I can imagine Great Lakes sailors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In fact, that was an incredible public work program, was the Erie Canal. People don't realize that connected.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the U.S. to the ocean, to the Atlantic. Yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah. No, the canals were quite a production, and it's kind of weird. They only really had a heyday of about 20 years or something.
That's right.
I can't remember what it is, but it wasn't very long at all.
That's right. But in that time, I heard the big hemlock trees from upstate New York, they could float them down to Fales Point in Baltimore and build clipper ships. So it was important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can we skip? There, you have so much stuff, but I really want to get into this album, man. This album is great. We're going to play I Can Still See.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll just play it. We'll talk about it after.
Thank you. chanting as it was.
sonrisa, la que antes tenías, y tú me das tu vida, y yo te doy la mía. En todas nuestras citas y muchas florecitas, porque eres tan, tan linda.
gonna half you, baby. Dangerous. Yeah. I'm gonna prowl here, baby. Between never and not. I'm gonna prowl here, baby. Zone that's between never and not. Yeah. I'm gonna prowl. Yeah, let's just keep this between the two of us, huh? Yeah. Ow.
For Pedro Show, I can still see New Perubu. Then Love Theme with Desert Exile. Shadow Dancing, a rough mix from Rent Party. Howie Reeve, he's in Spain right now. Pampered Brews. And then, another bass man from Spain. Marco Serrano, I should say, with Los Nietos. And very be careful from here in SoCal, some cumbia, El Pistaz, Boris from their new album Beyond, and finally Perubu with Hal. Is it? Did you ever get to meet Mr. Ginsberg?
No, but my father had the Howl. I don't know what you would call it. It wasn't a book. It was a
poem.
Whatever it was, he had the.
It was a poem, song. Right? Some guy went to jail. Yeah. I think his name was Shig, they called him. He ran the cash register at Mr. Ferlinghetti's store.
Yep.
Tell me about this record. Like, from the last gig of the last tour of the last record, were you already starting to think about this? Montana?
Well, I'm always thinking okay. of the next way of doing things. I worked on a new method that I call the dark room. Now the idea of the dark room is it's sort of inspired by Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock once said the problem with making movies is the actors, they ruin everything. And in a similar way, that's the problem with musicians. The problem with making music is the musicians. This probably is a controversial thing to say.
No, I remember reading Frank Zappa saying something like that.
Yeah, but so the idea of the dark room is that usually it's in this illustration, there's an elephant in a dark room, and a bunch of people try to describe what it is they're feeling by only touching a part of the elephant. Like one person touches the trunk and has to describe what it is that he's in the room with, on and on and on. So the idea is that nobody gets control of anything. Nobody knows what anybody else is working on. This has always been something I've been trying to achieve, to eliminate the power of any one musician, including myself, to...
you want to, exaggerate the Rashomon? The Rashomon moment?
We are talking at cross purposes there. I'm sorry. What you said.
I heard of this film technique called Rashomon from a Mr. Kurosawa movie, where nobody has the monopoly on the truth.
Right, right. Well, nobody has a monopoly on the song.
The guitarist
wants it to go one way, the bass player another way, the drummer another way, and nobody knows anything. So I'm the only one who knows anything about what's going on, what other people are working on, and it's my job to resolve all these conflicts so that the four different ways that visions are maintained. You know, the guitar player gets to pursue what he wants, and the bass gets to pursue what he wants or she wants, you know, but nobody wins, you know, I've always tried to create music that, you know, is like human life, you know, where, you know, nobody gets their way, you know, out of the struggle, there becomes something new and different and something that's greater than the sum of the parts.
Ah, great. So maybe you're like the rudder man.
You're like the what?
The rudder man. You got your hand on the till.
Yeah.
If you got too many cats yanking on the rudder.
Nobody even knows what the rudder is in my plan. You know, nobody knows what somebody else is working on, and they can only hear what it is. Nobody's sitting there describing how it's supposed to be or what they want. You know. So that was, you know, that's that I had decided that was what the method I was going to pursue pretty early on, but everything. I mean, I decide the way I'm going to work on an album, the way it's going to be recorded before I actually start to write it.
No, that makes good sense.
You know, the method is part of the being of it.
You know, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to be about anyway. So why not just face it straight on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there are some kind of pretensions about what a band is, and like some kind of perfect political state or something. But it's actually a search for the truth. I like what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, also, I mean, I'm afraid I have another heretical idea, which is that the people in a band aren't important. The people aren't important. It's the ideas that are important. Everybody is replaceable. I'm replaceable. I've been trying to replace myself for a while now. You know, in the original band, it was the idea of the five people that got together.
Yeah.
And the point was that there wasn't anybody else in Cleveland. You know, there was, if we had been in New York, we probably wouldn't have gotten together because you had all kinds of other opportunities that this Alan would go off with some sort of arty thing and, you know, Scott would go off with this or whatever. In Cleveland, there was maybe 20 of us, you know. We didn't have any choices, you know.
Except to gravitate with each other.
We were the only ones, you know. So we had to work together. There wasn't anybody else that was going to, you know, form a band with these people. So it was the ideas of the people. The people represented ideas, and that was what was important, not this rock and roll baloney personality cult that I'm afraid is the considered to be the way of doing things.
Yeah, it's jive. I agree with you. You know, we're at the end of the first hour, September 10, 2017 edition of Watt Peter Show. Special guest, David Thomas. Good people, hold tight for hour two. September 10, 2017. This is the second hour of the Watt Peter Show.
I'm like a pencil. It's two ways to look at it. One, you got the shot at, leaves a mark. Two, you got the pushy part, it takes a mark away. Shot part, pushy part. I'm like a pencil.
Self-made company man. I'm the one who's not on your side. I'm the one who don't care about you. I'm the one who loves you through and through. Through and through. Through and through. Through and through.
And talk about cinema and people. We start off the second hour here with Frag 9 from playing from Frag 9, and I got to learn about the process that pretty interesting how it came about. But another movie title. Again, I don't know why this happened. I hardly ever watch late TV. I don't have the cable anymore. It's the broadcast stuff, right? Or YouTube.com, because the TV can get the Wi-Fi. But anyway, this movie was called Panic in the Year Zero.
Oh, yeah. Great, terrible movie.
Do you know, I think, directed and starring Mr. Ray Milland. And in the beginning of the movie, there's some bombs in SoCal, and they name some of the towns that get taken out. They say Long Beach and San Pedro. They saved my town.
Yeah.
Now, listeners out there, you might not know, David knows this, but I didn't get the first Perubu 7 inches at first. Five of the tunes, in fact, some of them had different versions, came on a 12-inch 45 called Data Panic in the Year Zero. Is there a connection?
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not sure there's a direct connection to the movie. We obviously stole the idea because it's a great idea. You know, we had John Thompson, the art designer I've worked with since the 70s, had this notion of data panic, that we believe that, you know, that information would only serve, would come to only serve as a sedative-like drug, and it would create a dependency on data flow, and nothing could be allowed to interfere with data flow. There had to be more information increasingly fed to the data junkie consumer. So that's what we call data panic.
Ah. Now, here, for almost 40 years, I had that piece of data of that record title and then that piece of data of that movie title. I never put it together till last night. Seeing it.
That's
ain't that a trip?
Okay.
I think Mr. Wells is one of his last performances. He was chilling for some $2 Chuck screw on cap, maybe the Masson brothers. Wine before it's time. And
yeah.
I felt it was that kind of moment last night. I'm going to talk to David tomorrow, and I'm watching this movie that I never knew existed.
You didn't have a wasted youth like the rest of us, I guess.
But I did see Lost Weekend.
Okay, well, yeah, but
that's how I knew Mr. Milland.
That has worthy pretensions. It's not like Panic in the Year Zero, and it's not like Carnival Souls or any of these other things.
I think Panic in Year Zero was Roger Corman.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've seen everything Roger Corman has to produce.
I got to meet him one time at something. Raymond got to talk with him at something at UCLA. Yeah, and there was some Hell's Angels movie he made where he wouldn't use San Bernardino for the bottom rocker. He put San Pedro in there. And I asked him why. And he said, because the boss of that San Berdu gang said, you better not put... So he put my town.
Well, clearly the gang in San Pedro, you know, okay. not quite clearly not of the same scarifying level.
And then we heard a West Coast Company man by Guided by Voices, Mr. Pollard, just completed his 101st album. So this double album is already old, you know, a couple months. Mold Omen with Burrow and Softwood, Mailman with Post Office, Healers with Placebos, Salty with Manifestrin, and then Swampland, Perubu. What can you tell me about Swampland?
Jeez, I have to read.
You don't have
to. I was looking for...
I like that thing you say in the press thing where you say, we're not going to explain things.
Well, no, I'm not going to. I wasn't going to explain it to you.
Okay.
I was just going to. I was just going to mention that I was going through a sort of '70s James Gang sort of period, and I wanted to.
James Gang was a Ohio band. Joe Walsh was part of. And in fact, the last song I'm going to play tonight is Funk 49, but it ain't Funk 49.
No. I called up Jimmy Fox, the drummer, and said, you know, you can't copyright a title. So,
that's right.
But out of respect to you, I'm gonna, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm using the title, and here's a copy of the song. And he loved the song, and he said, hell yeah, go ahead, you know. You know, I like to fix things. I like to fix things that never happened. You know, so in my universe, you know, the James Gang should have teamed up with Tangerine Dream at some point. You know,
they are in that crazy movie with Elvin Jones, though.
Well, no, listen, in my universe, yeah. You know, in the mid '70s, you know. Ted Nugent was out on the tour, you know, and the Animal House movie had just happened, and some bright spark at Warner Brothers or whatever the label, Epic or whatever it was, said, hey, we're going to send Ted Nugent out on a tour of college frat houses, you know, and at this self-same time, you know, Captain Beefheart was going through the Mercury disgrace period, he had to get away, so he joined the horn section of a soul band just to go out on the road and get back to something. And that was the Barcays. He was in the horn section of the Barcays. The Barcays were booked to open for Ted Nugent at a frat house at Ohio State in 1974. Okay. You know, and they got together and jammed. The Barcays, Ted Nugent with Captain Beefheart on horn, jammed after and did a recording down the street in the basement. So that never happened. But it should have happened, you know, and so that's how I'll go about and write a song, you know. This is the song that they wrote together, you know, because things must be made to happen that haven't happened.
You're the rectifier.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I'm the rectifier.
Okay, we're going to hear Prison of the Senses.
I don't know if it's a green or a blue. I don't know if it's in love with you. That's a prison of the senses. Yeah, that's a prison of the senses. Something far away has come to me. I know the sum of the parts of contingencies. I don't know if it's a fake or that crude. I would deny it. That I don't know what is true. I take the time to define a better run out of the sea. The attitude, opportunity, not the shit. That's the prison of the senses. Yeah. That's the prison of the senses. got your plan. I will learn all the regions on the side of the can. That's the prison of the senses. That's the prison of the senses. That's the kingdom of the senses.
coming apart. Much of me, I'm not the free. Another bug on the itchy tree. Who knows what I'm talking about? God bless you. I got the red eye blues.
For Pedro show, that was President of the Senses, Perubu. Then Moomloo with Girl of a Skin Colored Blanket. What Funny Birds Dive into Water. Now that's a band name. Elephants Across Snowy Mountains. I think they're from England. Magnetophono to Yourself. Here, these guys are from Cleveland. Duo Decibel System. Progress Report. I guess that's Miss Melvis. She's done some recording with Scott Krause. And Nels Klein with the Night Porter, Max Monomar, from his Lover's album. And finally, Red Eye Blues from Peru, off the new album. Yeah, Red Eye Blues.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to explain anything, but do you want to say something about that too? I love it.
Oh, golly. No, I
you don't have to. It's no burden. It's no foist. I don't mean.
I can't. I don't know. I've just remembered it because I've had to start rehearsing it to go out.
That's right. You're going to tour this.
Yeah. We're touring in November and December. Going to make it out to Pedro Land.
Oh wow,
Pedro Land.
I can't wait. You know, there's
a place to play in Pedro. I'd like a
there beer. Is. There's a biker bar called Harold's Place.
Well, I want to be an honorary citizen of Pedro.
You know, the favorite pickup line used to be, nice tooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll make you honor. You know, because I'm not from
certificate.
Here. David, I ain't from here either, man. I came here when I was 9 from Virginia because Vietnam was closer. But, you got my vote. Look right at the end of the second hour, September 10, 2017. Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, David Thomas. Hold tight for hour 3.
Many would not.
September 10, 2017. It's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
So well, but which part of me is hard to tell? I'm a man who will get things done. One and one and one and one. 20 years.
You see, when Ken started, Ken was an exception. As well, Kraftwerk was an exception. Because after the war, the whole infrastructure of music was destroyed. It is not only the cities that they were destroyed, it was everything destroyed.
I wish it was yours. I wish it was yours.
We could not become, let's say, a rock and roll nation. That means if a German band would start playing rock and roll like British or American heroes are doing this, they only can be best in the second class. Yeah, they never could succeed. With the development of the electronic music, the young kids were suddenly rediscovering the analog synthesizers. They were completely forgotten for a while. All the digital synthesizers were there, and then they came and made this combination with the analog MIDI sequences, and then they found out about the quality of the old synthesizers again. We turned into a musical quality. Decades later, suddenly these qualities became so on the point. But in the 70s, if you imagine in the 70s, exactly like room sound and something like that, this was unprofessional, and that was actually not accepted usually as well by the because of this idea of hi-fi recording. But Ken started from the very beginning as a sort of a punk band and thinking in terms of lo-fi recording. That means finding out about the quality of trash. This was, you can say, for Germany, the zero, the hour zero, or the zero hour, starting from the very beginning. No rock and roll, no, not sing a song and nothing like that. They just started out of nothingness. The Germans started to find their own identity back again, slowly, step by step.
Thank you. They say that you will not make it this time. What do they know? The x-rays and testing could not even show cancer that grows. You beat this thing once before, years ago, but it's different this time. Even the strongest need support and love sometimes. I know that you're tired. I know that it's all overwhelming. But if and when you're weak, just reach out to me. I swear to you that I'll be strong for the both of us. And when you feel tired, take comfort in loved ones around you. You taught us the best. We know how this ends. I swear to you we'll be strong enough to carry on.
Thank you. that what I say? Come on, baby. We're gonna walk this way. We're gonna see. We're gonna stay with what's on our mind. We're gonna see. It's gonna be a good time. Come on, baby. Please don't delay. I'm the one for you in almost every way. Oh. Come on, baby. That is what I say. Come on, baby. I see you wanna walk this way. It's gonna be good. Nobody said it'd be bad. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be the best time that you ever had, I guess. I don't know.
Pedro Show, we started the third hour off with Toe to Toe, Pere Ubu, new album. Then Holger Zuke talking about Krautrock in Cannes, because we lost Brother Holger a few days ago. He had a trippy way of attaching his strap to the bass. He put it on the front of the bass and then would wear it over the right shoulder. So that's pretty...
I guess that's fairly esoteric information. But I guess that's, you know, it's from the horse's mouth.
Right,
you know?
Right, maybe.
If you want to know how to strap a bass on, we got it.
Anyway, he proved that it doesn't have to be one way. So thank you.
I never knew it had to or didn't have.
Right, right, right.
I didn't know that there was an art or an aesthetic to it, I'm afraid.
Well, I think Mr. Dusty Hill, he spins it on his belt buckle in ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But frankly, Mike, you're not in the same category.
Okay.
No offense.
No, taken. Don't worry. FGH from Hamburg after that, Miracle. And they probably not crowd rock, but maybe. Chino Ghetto from over here in California with Alley Cat Parts 1 and 2. The Shuttered Room Suite from David Gerard out in Massachusetts. Ballad of Mary Christ or the Suicide Chick and St. Mary's Bullshit by Grandpa's Ghost out of St. Louis, one of Joe Carducci's favorite bands from their new double album. And then from the new album, in a Montana, 20 Years in a Montana Missile Silo. Walk It Again, Perubu. You want to say something about Walk It Again? I love that tune.
Well, no, I mean, the only thing I can say is the Gagarin, the digital electronicist in the band, you know, fell over, broke his back, and went through a year of rehabilitation and celebrated it by writing a song called, piece of music called Walking Again.
Yeah.
But you see how you know, musicians without mystery are nothing but used car salesmen.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, all you can do is ruin it all by talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the without the mystery, you know, what the hell is there?
Okay, can I ask you one secret? This song on Dubhausen, it's called Navi?
Yeah.
Because I always thought it was a weird way of spelling Navy because my pop was a sailor.
Right, no.
Well, don't clear that mystery up.
But it is nautically.
I know, especially with that whistling shit. Or synthesizer sounding like a whistle. I mean.
Well, yeah, but a navvy is a often a working skiff in the maritime trade.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, it's not exclusively, but I mean, often it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, you cleared up some mystery, but you also learned me some vocab, so I'm very indebted.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you could have used the dictionary.
You know? Yeah, but you know what? You like to take words and wield them your way, like
yeah,
titles of songs.
It was a real word. You didn't think it was a real word, did you?
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Funk 49 is a real song title, too. And we're going to get to that. But first, we got this Monkey Business. Now, I remember Bill Wyman's song called that. Or maybe it was Monkey Glue. Or Johnny Thunders, Too Much Monkey Business. I don't know. But, again, I mean, okay, can I ask you this about the record?
Yeah.
Would you consider it one work or a collection of works?
It's one work.
Yeah, That's the feeling I got.
Yeah. It all centers around. Usually, a Perubu record will center around one sentence somewhere on a particular song. And this one centers around the toe to toe. You know, so there's, you know, there's the lyric about toe to toe. You know, toe to toe. This guy he's lived for 20 years in a missile silo and goes home to his wife and the whole thing comes down to, it gets to the bridge, and you know, I spent 20 years toe to toe with Uncle Joe, and then there's this little aside for this, you know, this is one of the Stooges rips I ever go after, you know. It, you know, so it's clearly, you know, Forgotten Son, you know, the Runway, the words don't, search and destroy. So it's you know, it's search and destroy from the point of view of the guy going home to his wife at night, you know, and what that must be like, you know, to be, you know, standing at the border of Kingdom Come and going home to your wife at night, you know, and she's, how is your day, honey?
Yeah, it's surreal.
Sort of thing.
No, yeah. It's more intense and surreal because it's actually the reality on the dealio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Let's listen to Monkey Business.
Go, baby, go. Flow, baby, flow. What human mean to me? Flow, baby, flow. Go, baby, go. Sex clouds bounce around. Monkeys and clowns.
Erdenrund. rufen die Glocken zum jüngsten Gericht. Mariechen, mein Mädchen, dir träumte ein Kätzchen, legte sein Köpfchen dir weich auf den Mund. Mariechen, mein Kindchen, ach, hör auf zu ächzen, die Zeit ist vergiftet, nur Schlaf macht gesund.
Leise, laut ruft er in Strömen das Blut von Proleten und Bürgern herbei. Im Krieg liegt die Freiheit, so hört man ihn stöhnen. Am Waldrand, der Friedhof steht in Akelei.
Mariechen, ich pflanze Holunder und Flieder, dorthin, wo noch gestern dein Kinderleib lag. Mariechen, der Brunnen wird singen. Süße und Wahrheit, wenn Licht wird der Tag.
Es it's for you. Laughing out your mind of coke, know the right for doom. Either trash and black metal, I will sing when I feel better. But a real stinger won't need a deal from you. And I'm waiting till the darkness, when all the other people looking down, I know you're going to cry. Well, I smell the goddess, and there was nothing to. Yeah, I haven't drowned for years, cause I love you too. Now I'm starving, can't survive if I don't kill. I can't face your eyes, I never lied to you. And I'm waiting till the darkness, when all the other people looking down, I know you've gone bright.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Lucky Business, Pere Ubu, Kim Bob and Kester, with Schlaf Loud for Marie. This is Not a Holiday from Automatic Sam, Super Freak with Gone, and finally Funk 49. Pere Ubu, I'm so glad you went and got permission. Even though you're right, you can't copyright a song title. You know, can I ask you this? If a younger person, even younger than me, wanted to ask you about... Because since that tune was called Monkey Bit, what if somebody asked you about advice about this racket?
Quit.
Okay.
Well, no, quit before you get ahead. I wouldn't want to start out in the business now. As bad as we thought it was, we were protected by isolation, each in our own ways. And, isolation is a protection. It used to be that, mountains and deserts and rivers and oceans, created boundaries, geographical boundaries. Well, there was a time in the 60s where the broadcast throw of a radio station or of a TV station created its own geographical boundary, and I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, or Cleveland, which is a city in Ohio. But more importantly, I lived in the broadcast throw of CKLW out of Detroit and WHK out of Cleveland and, you know, on and on and on. And, you know, WJW and all of that. Those are the mountains and the hills and the rivers that divided, you know, the isolated people, kept us protected, you know. Now it's just all the same crap the world over. And whatever, I don't want to sound like an old man.
No, but the interesting thing is, you didn't give up on it. You're still a music man.
Well, yeah. Well, what's to give up on? I mean, you know, what alternative? You know, that's the other thing about Cleveland. We were doomed. You know, nobody was ever going to hear about us. You know, it's only a freak accident that anybody ever heard of Perry Boo outside of Cleveland, you know. So we knew that what we were doing was utterly futile in terms of a career or recognition or any of that. So when you know that it's hopeless, then you just go ahead, then you get tough and you just go ahead and you do it, you know. You do it for your own sake, for your own sanity,
sure,
or whatever you want to say. Call it, you know.
Sure.
There you go.
I have to say, you guys came and played the modern dance at the Whiskey Go-Go. Me and D. Boone, Georgie were there, and it was an incredible effect on us. So sometimes is little, but it has impact.
Yeah. Well, we got lucky. But, I mean, you know, so all of a sudden stuff started to happen, and people started writing about us in Paris and Minneapolis and
Cream magazine. You know. What's his name? Richard Meltzer, but his buddy, he ended up making an album. Who was the editor of that thing? Carburetor Dung. What was his book? Lester Bangs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You're right. Overseas, though, they were a lot more hip to it. So you would say quit because these are bad new days.
I think musicians. It's not a healthy world. You know, it's not. It's, you know, obviously there's a certain amount of humor to what I just said. You know, I mean, I mean, I'm being kind of sarcastic, but you know, it's a really, you know, there's one way to lose money in business, that's to open a restaurant. There's one way to you know, guarantee you're going to lose a good proportion of your happiness, you know, and that's to be a musician, you know. Now, if you're tough, you know, and if your head is together, and if you're sensible and you work really hard and remain sensible, then, you know, you can avoid that pitfall. It's a lot of people I'm sure you know haven't survived.
Yeah.
And a lot of people I know haven't survived.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's, I'd rather they survived and there's less music in the world, you know, and they were alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's sort of where I'm at with it.
But even like the band named after the play by that man Alfred Jarry,
yep,
he burned out quick too, huh?
Oh yeah.
And God, that was the days before even telephone.
Yeah. Or television.
Or television or radio or yeah, maybe humans have always been cursed with this kind of stuff about them poisoning themselves.
Well, I think it's important to try to stay. I don't know. I'm sort of tired in my head at the moment, and I'm not coming up with what I think it should important be. I'm starting to talk confused and all of that.
Okay, maybe then that's a good time to end the show. But man, it's been a big honor for me, David. You've been a hero to me for so long, and to get to talk to you about your new album and hear about your first musics. Big honor to me. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, and good luck on this tour. You're coming. I can't wait to see the piece realized in my face. in my ear.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's good. I hope we run into each other. I remember we ran into each other some hideous little club in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
That's right.
T.T. the Bear.
And then one time, a pad in southern Holland, Hoos.
Oh, really?
And then one time we got to play with you at the Ritz. It's called, I think, Webster Hall now in Manhattan.
Oh, all right. And, your memory is better than mine.
Because you guys were so huge to us, huge impressions on me. So thank you for being on the show. And
well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I can't wait. I know there's going to be another album, so let's please talk about that one.
Okay.
All right.
People, okay. It's been September 10th, 2017 edition of the Walk Peter Show. Special guest, David Thomas. Everybody, keep your powder dry.